You're listening to episode 211 of Lifestyle Locker Radio with Dr. Ben Carvoso.
Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and I want to welcome you to Lifestyle Locker Radio. It is here where we talk all things lifestyle, from fitness to nutrition, peak performance to longevity, awesome relationships to inspirational stories. We take you on an amazing journey to all things life and lifestyle. Enjoy the ride. And for today's guest, if you want to learn more than they're going to tell you on this show, I urge you to scroll down, check out the show notes to get a detailed bio and everything you need to know about our guest today. We also encourage that you comment, review, and share this show if you are enjoying it from wherever and whenever you're listening. Lastly, we encourage you to check out all the links that we provide in the show notes. They are there for you, for your health, for your lifestyle. We ultimately want you to unleash your human potential. So dive into this episode. We'll see you on the inside. Hey everyone, I want to welcome you back to Lifestyle Locker Radio. We have a great guest today, Dr. Ben. Dude, welcome. I love hearing people that are into high performance. You know, I've been an athlete my whole life. I've been a business person in my adult life and even in my teenage years. So I'm excited to have you here. So welcome.
Josh, I'm super excited to be on your show. Love the work you're doing. Really, really love it and the message you're putting out there.
Thank you so much. So Ben, we've had conversations with great people on our show with different types of life coaches or a health coach or a business coach. And I know a lot of different variations and you're what we call a high performance coach. Before we get into what that is, I wanted you to bring us back into what got you into working with other people, to coaching other people, and then how that high performance part came in.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit of a story, so I'm going to try and abbreviate it.
Yeah.
Back when I was 17, my mum and dad took me to a chiropractor for sore knees. And I went to the chiropractor, and his name was Max Joseph. He was a famous chiro in Australia, Gonstead practitioner. And Max didn't even look at my knees. He went straight to my neck, checked my neck, adjusted my neck. And I remember just as I walked out to get into the car, the world was brighter. It was clearer. There was more clarity. There was more color. I'm driving home in the car with mum and dad, in the back seat, the old bench seats in the car. And I said to mum and dad, can you see how like everything kind of looks more colorful? And they said, you know, of course, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I remember getting home and a couple hours later, coming out to mum and dad in the kitchen, they were baking bread and saying to mum and dad, I don't want to be an electronics engineer anymore. I want to be a chiropractor. And that started my chiropractic journey. So I went and hung out with Max for a while and got into chiropractic and graduated from chiropractic, went straight into practice. Was practicing for about 10 years, deep into it, loving it. And one day my wife and I were on a holiday in Fiji. And I decided to climb a palm tree. My wife says, don't climb the palm tree, you're gonna fall out. I said, oh, I'll be fine, it'll be great. I said, take a picture of the sun setting in the background. It's one of those classic postcard shots with the palm tree scooping out over the water. So I get to the end of the palm tree, and palm trees survive hurricanes, et cetera, because they're pretty flexible.
Yeah.
You get to an end of a palm tree and the whole thing's just waving around. And I look down, it's about 3 meters down. There's a bit of water and sand. I think I'm going to, you know, strategically drop out rather than fall out. So I drop down, my foot goes through the water, goes through that inch of sand, and then right onto a rock. Oof. And I'm laying in the water thinking, oh, those feet are sore. Left foot started to feel better. Right foot started to feel better. Left foot didn't. And I smashed it into thousands of pieces.
Holy cow.
So I get back from Fiji. I have surgery on the foot. But it cost me about 9 months out of practice. I couldn't walk for 9 months. And part of that nine-month journey, and I talk about it in my book, actually, you're happy when life equals your life expectations. Yeah. And so I broke the foot. I went, cool, broken foot. First time I've had a break. And I'm going to get to have a 3 month break from practice. I'm going to read some books, build some model airplanes, walk around in my dressing gown like Hugh Hefner. This is going to be good. This is going to be fantastic. Practice will run itself. You know, it's going to be amazing. Anyway, and it was, right? I had this great 3 months. I literally did walk around in my dressing gown, build some model airplanes, read some books. Got to the end of 3 months, went to the podiatry surgeon to have the cast taken off. And I thought, I'm going to get the cast off. I'll limp for a few days and then I'll be good. I'll be back in. Took the cast off and I couldn't walk. And that's when life did not equal my life expectations. And I was very unhappy. And over the rest of that next 3 to 6 months, I got very, very, very unhappy to the point I decided to start doing depression.
Mm.
And one day I thought about driving my car into a tree. And I didn't. And mate tapped me on the shoulder, said, hey, you know, you got this time off still, unfortunately. Why don't, you know, you build a radiology practice? You know, as a chiro, you know about radiology. He said, we're building a medical center. We've got space next door to build radiology. Why don't you build a radiology practice? And so I did. And it literally, it was in weeks of him saying that, that I decided to lift myself out of that state, that sad, depressed state, and just got straight back on. And, you know, and I talk about it in my book because really what happened was I just got reconnected with purpose. I just got reconnected with my core values, the values of creation and inspiration, etc. So I built this radiology practice, built another 4 over the next 7 years. I obviously got back into practice, sold those practices, and sold my chiropractic practice, took some time off. And then someone knocked on my door and said, hey, we want to buy your radiology company. So I sold the entire company and I was not working for a few weeks. And in that few weeks, I got a call and it was from another radiology company saying, hey, we're looking at building another radiology company. Can you help us out with some advice? And this is where the journey started.
Now let's say my wife
is at home and she is every day saying, stop giving your advice for free. You're doing it all the time. And she's been saying this for years, right? Stop doing it for free. You've done the research, you know, you've done the study, you've done the courses, the seminars, and people just come and get it for free. Stop doing it. So anyway, this guy's on the phone. I said, mate, look, I'll probably just need a couple of hours on Monday and I'm $150 an hour. And he said, great, I'll see you Monday. I ran straight into my wife. Guess what? I'm getting paid for the advice. So literally that weekend, I got on the computer and started to Google, what is advice? What is coaching? What is this thing, right? And then that's what started my journey. So then I went and did some more study on, you know, how do you take advice and actually use it in a coaching format? And then literally 6 weeks later, I had a shingle out and I was starting to coach. And that was 6, 7 years ago now.
Wow. So, that's a pretty amazing journey. And I will say this, and I'm sure you have probably heard this from other people that are successful in life, that a lot of people's, they get reconnected to their purpose, but they become very successful, whatever that means to them in life. We're going to see happiness through like a Zoom screen, right? That they have some kind of injury or something bad happened to them or their house blew up or whatever that may have been. They reconnect through this horror and they come out of it like this glowing, happy, excited new person that you're like, wait, where'd they come from?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the hero's journey, right?
Yeah.
It's the hero's journey. It's the Star Wars journey. It's the journey in Lord of the Rings, you know, like, you know, the hobbits set off and the journey and you know, they've got their little backpacks on and they're singing away and they're having their second breakfast and it all looks sunny. You know, they've got the sun on their back. And that was my journey in practice. You know, practice was amazing. I had this huge practice. I had great associates, great teams. The sun was on my back. And then all of a sudden you enter the dark night of the soul. You know, it starts getting dark. And it's in that darkness that, and we all have this constant journey. If you never leave home, if you never leave Hobbitville or whatever the place was that they came from, you're safe forever, right? You'll never experience the dark night of the soul, but you'll never grow. So the path of growth is you head off, sun on the back, and at some point on that journey, it's going to get dark. You're going to hit nighttime. And it's in that that you either get stuck or you break on through. Now, everyone gets stuck, but the difference between someone in the dark night of the soul that gets stuck and fails versus stuck and succeeds is the stuck person that succeeds, they get resources. They read a book. They get a mate that gives them encouragement. They get someone to champion. They get a coach. They get a healthcare practitioner. They have someone that says, hey, you know, I believe in you. Keep moving forward. And then you're right, that toughness, that dark night makes you a better person. That's the growth phase. And then you come out and then you're in the sun again.
Yeah.
It's the hero's journey, right? And so we've all got many cycles of those in our life. If you're growing, if you're leaving home.
Yeah. That pain to purpose is pretty, is a pretty neat thing. And when you, let's go back into your coaching for a second. So we started, you got paid for your first bit of advice that was given, then you're studying and you become a coach. So what's the transition then? And what does that look like? If you want to paint that for us, you know, going from someone that may just help a business owner or this radiology company strategize or whatever that may be and become successful to becoming now a high performance coach.
So that was the aha moment when I thought I was just going to give advice, and it always had a little bit of a coachy flavor to it, but it was, hey, here's what you need to do. So you're really telling someone, and that's more mentorship than it is coaching.
Okay.
And these days I do both, right? But the difference with coaching is you don't actually ever make a statement. You only ask questions. And you allow the person to kind of work out the answer through the questioning. Yeah. We know that many of us ask shitty questions all the time.
Yeah.
Why am I too fat? Why am I ugly? Why can't I succeed? Why, you know, they're all the kind of the wrong questions. A coach comes along and asks you quality questions. The quality of life is always a reflection of the quality of the questions you ask. And sometimes we can't ask our own questions. So we need someone that can step next to us and look at us and go, hey, let me ask you these great questions. So that you can find some great answers, some great solutions, and continue to move forward. So that was my distinction when I did some coach training, was the distinction between mentorship advice versus coaching.
Okay. Yeah. So you're it's more of a pull methodology than a push methodology.
Yeah. So I'll flip between the two. So I'll coach, and then I'll go, hey, look, do you mind if I do a share with you? This is just my opinion. It could be just like totally wrong. But here's what I would do. And so I get really clear with the client that it's just an opinion. It's his advice. Take it or leave it. But a lot of the time, I'm going to encourage my client that we just stick in the coaching.
Yeah.
So that they find the solution and own it. And it's in alignment with what's really important to them, not what's important to me.
So then let's do this. We spoke about this offline, but speaking about work-life balance. I think that's a great topic, but I would guarantee whether the person listening right now is 16 years old or 60 years old, they've heard someone say you got to have work-life balance. What do you got to say about that?
Well, yeah. So I think work-life balance sucks, right? As we talked about that, because the picture is, you know, you've got these scales and you're constantly trying to balance the two. You know, I spent an hour with my wife now I feel a bit guilty. I've got to spend an hour at work, and now I'm starting to feel a bit guilty because I've been there for 2 hours. So I better go and spend an hour with the kids and balance that out. And we're constantly trying to balance where we're putting our time, our money, our energy, and our sanity. Stop doing that, right? Create life alignment. Whereas when you're at work, your marriage is getting better. When you're with your marriage, your relationship with your kids is better. And when you're with your kids, your bank account's getting better. But everything's in alignment. It's all heading in the same direction.
Yeah.
And that starts with what I just said earlier, is that you do what really matters most to you, not to me. So many of us are getting around should on. You know, we're should on by our parents, by our partners, by our work colleagues, by the system, by the government, by the church.
Yeah.
We're told, hey, this is what you should do. And so we start doing the should, but it's not what we really, really want.
Mm.
So this whole work-life balance thing starts with deciding, what do you really want? What do you really want your life to be about? What's the purpose of it? And then with that as the overarching driver, then deciding what are my missions? What are my different roles, and how do I really want those to look? And making sure that they're aligned. That when you're working on your business, it's not going in this direction and your marriage is going in this direction.
Yeah.
But there's an alignment. So I talk about rather work-life balance, I talk about life alignment.
Yeah. So there really isn't a balance. It shouldn't be about a triple beam balance. Like, well, maybe work a little more, or I got to work a little less. And, you know, talking about, and you mentioned before, like having clients that have had serious challenges, and I've seen it with my patients and people that I get to talk with, right? They're like, their business is booming, their marriage is falling apart, Like, how is that an exciting life? Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, great. You have all the money in the world that you want now, but you got nothing to celebrate with, like, because you're in a hole. So that alignment key, I mean, you're coming from a chiropractor, right? I mean, that makes so much sense about building congruency across the board, right?
Yes.
And clarity. So when you're working.
It's your congruency, right? Because that person, if he truly connects with his purpose, it could be to create a massive business that impacts the world.
Of course. Not saying
and
that.
And not be married. That's perfect, right? Because someone might be on his shoulder going, man, you should be married. You should have a wife. You should do it. So he's doing the wife, but really, it's not really his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying in general, like I'm not saying someone should have.
Correct.
Should, yes. Right? But no, I agree. The alignment is key. And if your purpose and your mission in life is to only be married and not work, or only work and not be married, whatever it may be, you got to figure that out, right? That's probably what you probably talk about in your book, I'm guessing. A lot of the purpose stuff, becoming your own CEO of your own life, right? Like, the book's called The Life CEO.
Yes, yeah.
So how'd you come up with the title? First of all, and can you just give us a little, the Cliff Notes version of what people are going to find once they start to dive in?
Yeah, so Life CEO is really about the company model. Really, is I see a model that we can use in our life. You know, there's a CEO who literally runs the daily operations. He's making the decisions on a day-to-day basis about how the company is heading, but he also has a board of directors. You know, that he looks to for advice. You know, when times are getting tough, he'll go and have and meet with the board and say, hey, I've got this challenge. I'm entering a bit of a dark night of the soul in the company. Can you give me some advice, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that whilst we are the CEO of our company, our own life, that we need to, understand that sometimes we need a board. We need someone to reflect to, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The CEO determines the direction in assistance with the board. He then has departments, he has a marketing department, a sales department, and a HR department, and a product development department. As do we in our lives, we have a marriage, and we have kids, and we have a business, and we have money, and we have health. We have these different departments.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those departments have their own mission. They have their own role to play. The HR department doesn't do sales, and sales don't do product development. But they're all in alignment, right? They're all working for the same purpose, which is the overall success of the company. And so I think we have those different departments. The CEO then goes to the team and he says, okay, so this is the purpose of the company. Here's the plans. Here's our plan of attack for this year. And he formulates some sort of plan so everyone knows what the goals are for the company and what the KPIs are and where we want to head. And I think we need to do that in our life, not just have this lofty kind of purpose, but take that lofty purpose and actually put it on paper, put some kind of plan together. You know, if you look at my wall over there, this is my war room wall. I have my big purpose stuff here is, some of the individual chunks that I'm doing, the big vision for the year and how it's going to play out, my daily kind of Kanban and things I need to do on a daily basis. That's kind of my life on a wall, right? Certainly around my business.
Yeah.
And so you set the plans, and then he goes and he, as the CEO, he decides the character of the company. What's the culture? What's the character? What's the personality that we're going to have in the company? What's the vibe? Yeah, he sets that. And that's really important that we kind of recognize that who we be, our character, our internal culture, that we can set at any time. If we get a chance, we'll have a bit of a let's have a conversation around that now.
Yeah.
On your car, right? I've got a Rangy. It's got one of those dials, right? So when I start the car up, it's always in road mode. But if I decide to go off-road, I can turn the dial to sand or snow mode, rock mode, mm-hmm. hill descent mode. It's got these different modes. The car's always a Range Rover, but I can get it to shift its character and changes its suspension, its acceleration, its gears and whatever else it changes, but it becomes a slightly different character. And so for us, whilst you're always Josh, there's kind of versions of Josh.
Yeah.
that you need to be able to turn the dial and bring the hill descent version of Joss, Josh, and the snow version of Josh, and the sand version of Joss at times, if you want to succeed in that aspect of your life. And so as individuals, we need to recognize that we can be anything we want. Whilst we've got a default, at times we need to turn the dial. Because clients often say to me, I just want to be me. I go, well, you can be anything you want to be. And at times, if you want to succeed, you need to make sure that you're putting yourself in the right mode. So this, as a CEO, he determines the mode, the culture of the
company.
And then lastly, each of those departments go out and they start being productive. They start doing stuff. We can do purpose. We can do plans. We can set personality. But eventually, the rubber's got to hit the road and we need to be productive. And a good CEO, if he's set that right, the company doesn't get busy, it gets productive. And there's a difference. There's lots of businesses and there's lots of individuals running around and they're busy, but they're not really productive. And then lastly, you know, the CEO model is, well, then as a result of those four, purpose driving, plans driving, personality, and then productivity, we end up with profit. At the end of the week, the month or the year, we've got more. We've got more money in the bank. We've got more in our relationship with our wife. We've got more in our relationship with our community and our business or in our, you know, in our local community. We've got more in our relationship with our kids. The year has become profitable. Yeah. And again, as a CEO, he'll go back to the board and report back. He'll go, hey, here's some of the things that didn't work so well, and here's the stuff that worked well, and here's the profit that we made. And then the cycle continues. So that's kind of where the CEO model came from. Is literally following that. And if you do that right, you get to productivity and you're productive and therefore profitable. If you don't do that first bit, all you do is run around busy and end up broke. Broke in your marriage, broke in your relationships, broke in your business. You're busy, you're running around, but there's no money in the bank. There's no relationship in your marriage.
Yeah. So that's an important concept that I'm not sure if everybody picked up on, the difference between being busy and being productive. Yeah. Right. This concept is so, so amazing. And I've been like paying attention to this now for so long. And I just read another, reread a book that I read probably almost a decade ago. I think it's called The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss.
Yeah.
And he talks about that busy productive. And I actually listened to it again, I should say. And it's so powerful because we can put ourselves go in circles all day, especially if you're an entrepreneur. For me, at least, you know, like, if I pick up my phone or open my computer up and my Google Chrome has 74 tabs open and I'm like, what do I look at first? You know, there goes an hour of my day or 3 hours of my day that didn't help my business, didn't help my relationships, didn't help anything. And we end up it becomes a lost leader. Like see you later. So I'm so glad you brought that up. And where with people, with your clients, because I love like examples. Where do you see, and you obviously don't have to share names, but where do you see that people start to become so busy that they just start losing, like they start losing the race? And then is there like an aha moment where they go, holy crap, look what I've been doing for the past 25 years or something like that?
It's usually a crisis occurs. You know, one of the things that I find that the reason people get busy is they want this, the thing that they've got, and they want the new thing. And they don't want to let go of the thing they want, but they also want the new thing. So they're trying to hang on to this and they're trying to get that thing. And so there's lots of going on.
Like a tug of war back and forth.
So they're not getting there, right?
Yeah.
You know, crisis comes from the Greek word to sieve out. So, you know, in my book, I talk again about the importance of sieving out parts of your life. Sometimes you just got to let some stuff go. Like you can't have this life and this life. You can't have the 2019 version of you in 2020. The 2020 version's got to be a different version if you want to leave home. Yeah. Otherwise, stay home and just keep doing the same thing like the hobbits do in the Hobbit Village, right?
Yeah.
There's very few hobbits that leave, but Frodo decided to leave the village, and that required a shift in who he became. So a lot of people are here in this tug of war, kind of busy, and it's painful in that. It's uncomfortable and it's unrewarding, it's unfulfilling. This is the busy life. This is the full life, but unfulfilling.
Yeah. Would you say people need to start or think about like having, they have their to-do list, like you showed your war room, your war, that wall, right, of all of the year for 2020. This is 2020 in a nutshell. Do people also need to maybe have a don't do list?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Right. Yeah, you can't do everything. You know, that great book, The One Thing by Gary Keller. I don't know whether you've read that. It's a good book.
Yeah.
Simple, right? It's like, it's ridiculously like simple. It's just, you know, do the one thing, do the most important thing. I did a blog this week, and I talked about, you know, what's the most important thing for the start of 2020? And I get, you know, like our business is important and our marriage is important and our kids are important and our health is important. I get they're all important, but what's the most important thing to kick off in 2020 and deciding on that? The catch is the most important thing in our life will produce the most stress. It will produce the most fear because we have so much care about it, right? And as we move towards that most important thing, by the way, the most important thing is the thing that you want to grow. Like, I want to grow my marriage this year. I want to grow my health this year. So there's a hero's journey that is about to occur. As you move towards that most important thing, you will experience fear, which in society we call stress, right? Because fear is an uncool word, but the reality is it's only fear is what stress is.
It's true.
So as stress comes up, it causes us to move away from that growth. So we go, oh, I really want that thing. That's the most important thing. But let me just have a look over here because that's too scary, right? So we do procrastination, we do perfectionism, we do frustration, we do anger, we do tiredness, we do all these great strategies to stop moving to where we really want to go. Mm. And so I was talking about what is the most important thing to kick off 2020 and how could you not turn away from it? How could you keep looking at it and make it the main focus? And really that's kind of what Gary Keller is saying, is pick the one thing and stay on target. As Luke Skywalker said in Star Wars, stay on target, stay on target.
So then here's a question for you. You know, the one we mentioned, the one thing, and that focus was, I think for me, the word for 2020 is, you know, focus, right? That's a big word. And, you know, you run a practice, chiropractic practice, and you run this performance coaching business, right? And in both of those worlds, you are helping people. And then you have a family, then you have everything else that goes on in the world with all of us. So how do you determine the one thing when you have multiple things?
Yeah.
Right. So I'm no different. I have a chiropractic practice. I have the online version of me as well, the podcast and the online business. And then I have all the other stuff, right? The family, right? And the life. So how do you pick the one thing when you have, you know, a lot of positive going on, but they will pull you in different directions at different times?
Yeah, great question. Look, it's tricky, right? Because, you know, you can be a bit like a kid in a candy shop. When you love all the candy, it gets tricky, right? But, you know, I'll walk into a candy shop and I actually don't like candy, but I do like chocolate and I like marzipan chocolate. So for me, it's easy. I just go, hey, I got it in my section, right? But it is tricky. I think when I talk about the one thing and when I talk about the most important thing, it's the most important thing for now. It's the most important thing in 2020, or it's the most important thing in January 2020. So it's not, you're doing that thing not to the exclusion of everything else. You're doing that thing to the benefit of everything else.
Uh-huh.
So if your alignment looks like this, and it's all shooting in different directions, when I do this one thing, it's pulling away from this other thing. But if they're all heading in this direction, when I do this one thing, it's still supporting the others. When I'm a great chiropractor, when I'm really, you know, if that was my one thing for January, and it is actually my one thing for January, we've just shifted practice over Christmas. But on Monday, I open in the new building, super excited.
Oh, very cool.
You know, it is super cool. And so that's my one thing for January, is to open and, you know, keep the flow going and, you know, get back on track with the chiropractic practice and in the new building, right? But I love chiropractic and I'm passionate about it. And so I finish my chiropractic day pumped and excited, having learned heaps of stuff that I'll then bring into my coaching practice the next day. So there's an alignment there. So one is feeding the other. And I get home after a chiropractic day and I'm on fire, right? And so I walk into my house and my kids don't see this exhausted, tired, busy dad. They see a productive dad that comes home feeling fulfilled, right? Full of smiles.
Yeah.
So you can work on the one thing for now. As long as it's in alignment with everything else is still benefiting.
Yeah.
So it's not the one thing to the exclusion.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think this is really a really cool conversation because you have, you know, as a chiropractor, you have this vitalistic practice where you're turning on life. And I don't think you're doing that much different in your coaching world.
No, I know. See, here's the thing. Right? So I did a rebranding about 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And I sat with a great mate and we did this big whiteboarding session. He goes, mate, you know, I reckon the new practice, because I did a reno in my older practice 7 years ago. He said, it should be called the on button. Because that's what you do when you're coaching, right? You help, it's like you're turning people on to, you know, their real purpose and blah, blah. That's what you do in chiropractic. Like you're turning this nerve system on. And he goes, the new business, it needs to be the on button, right? Because they are very aligned, right? So we do that rebranding. And for any of your listeners that are in business, you know, I was so excited. New logos, new branding. We answered the phone differently. And you know what? No one cared. No patients cared. No clients cared. No one said anything, right? I was waiting for everyone to be so excited about the new branding. Anyway, there we were 5 years down the track. And I was finding it was creating confusion because I was wanting to make sure that my coaching practice was separate, really, from my chiro practice, even though I'm now named the same thing. So I decided to bring back the original chiropractic name, which was Mornington Peninsula Chiropractic Center. And so I went, oh, you know, with my tail between my legs, I'm going to bring that brand back and bring the logo back and answer the phone, you know, separately now. And what's everyone going to think after I made such a big deal about the on button? No one said a word. No one cares. So do it for yourself. You know, enjoy the creativity, enjoy the, you know, the excitement of whatever the rebrand is or whatever you choose to do. But just realize that most people out there are so busy. There's so much noise in their life. They don't really care.
Yeah, that's it's funny you say that. You know, with our logo for our podcast, I've become in the past 3 years, I've become an ultra marathoner, and the logo is a picture of me in a, you know, in a really cool blue suit, you know, looking like the other way. And I'm thinking I need a dirty, sweaty, you know, mud in my hair, whatever kind of picture for this show, because it really is my true authentic self. I live and breathe our chiropractic office's purpose really has become more of a life purpose or mission for me. And it's the acronym for CHOICE, constantly helping others innately create excellence in their health and in their lives. Right. Beautiful. So that my father, we thank him for that. He's 41 years in practice, teaches, is an amazing teacher and a chiropractor, but like, it's me being my best. I connect people when I'm my best self. And you know, when you talk alignment, it's you can feel it, you can see it in someone's eyes, right? You can hear it in their voice when they are like turned on, like whether it's after an adjustment like you had your first time, or when you're working with a client and they get that like that click, like when everything, like all the stars align, you can see it, hear it, feel it, smell it. And so
I love what you say about that click, because I was interviewing an associate yesterday, new graduate, right? He's just graduated, and generally they suck, right, at adjusting. And I asked him the dreaded question, which of course is, can you give me an adjustment? Which for a new graduate is awful, right? When a principal chiropractor who's, you know, like 30 years out says, can you adjust my spine, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, right, he just left at it and he gave me an adjustment, and it was amazing. Like, it was the best adjustment that I've had from a new graduate, and in fact from many chiropractors. It was beautiful. It was just beautiful. And I said to him, man, that was bloody good. Give me a cuddle. Like, give me a hug. That was just that was like really, really good. And he goes, oh, thanks. I said, so how did you do it? He said, I just started adjusting when, you know, from first year. You know, I started just setting up and following through. And he said, the university doesn't allow you to follow through. So for the first 4 years, all you're doing is setting up. You need
to you're posing.
You're
like a little model to stand, of course.
I said, you know, that sucks on many levels because, you know, there's nothing like setting up, adjusting, and the feeling that comes not to the patient, but comes to you as the practitioner.
Yeah.
That feeling when you just know you've shifted it and you know the pressure's coming off the nerve system and their body's waking up.
Yeah.
You feel that as the practitioner, right? And you need that in first year at uni. You need that in second year. You need to, because that's how you get the chiropractic spears. That's how you connect, you know, with what's incredible about chiropractic in your first and second and third year. If you have to wait till fifth year to get that, it's too late.
Yeah. I agree.
There's an incredible dropout in chiropractic university in Australia. First year start and second year and third year, and they're just dropping out as they go. And I think they're dropping out because they're not getting that. They're not getting the magic that comes with making a shift.
Yeah. So, I mean, you had that aha moment, that alignment moment when you got that adjustment. This is what you're saying, right? Like the stars aligned. It's like, this makes sense. This is good. So where are the best places for people to find you? What's the best place? We'll say that.
Well, of course, you know, in 2020, it's online. Check me out at drbencavosso.com. There's a heap of stuff there, heap of free resources. You know, I'm happy for people just to download and get stuff. You know, my mission is to inspire. It is to make change. And so there is so much stuff there that people can get without even connecting and paying a cent. If they just listen to and then implement, if they watch and implement, if they read and implement, you know, knowledge is not power. It is the implementation of that knowledge. It's action on the knowledge that is power.
Yeah.
And it's scary, right? Whenever you learn something new, it's always scary to implement it because it will be new.
Yeah.
But give it a go, right? Try implementing it.
Totally.
My website, there's heaps of stuff there. My book is there. You can download a free chapter from my book, but go to Amazon if you want to buy it, or any of the, you know, the bookstores. It's stocked there. I reckon it's worth a read. It'll take you through the five steps, you know, how to actually determine your purpose. And there's a really cool process that I'll take you through on how to do that. So the book is really a coaching book. It's not a read book. It's a book that is kind of, there's constant exercises throughout.
Requires doing.
It requires doing. Yeah. Requires doing.
Yeah. So everybody, I want to let you know, you're going to head over to lifestylelocker.com/, you ready? lifestylelocker.com/lifeCEO. You're going to be able to get all the details there. But also when you're on his website, make sure you do check out it. You know, we mentioned the book, we mentioned him as a coach, as a chiropractor. So if you're listening and you're down under, find this guy, right? He's obviously very purpose driven in what he's doing. If you want to get a good chiropractor down there, but you know, he's a coach. He does workshops. He speaks all over. He has got different products besides the book that you can actually have access to or get, I should say. So just poke around. There's a lot to learn from, as all our guests they are content builders. I mean, they're creators, and you're going to learn a ton. You know, if you haven't got enough from this already, I mean, this was like a whole coaching session, right? This was awesome. I mean, I have a great time. So Ben, I'm going to ask you one last question, and you got to answer it in three ways. So if I were to ask you or to tell someone, what three things could they do to unleash their human potential, you know, just to be a little bit better starting today, what would you tell them?
So great question, right? So I could give mentorship or coaching on that. So, I prefer to do coaching. So my question to your listener today, whoever's listening to this right at this very second, when this podcast finishes and you hit the off button, what could you do that would make a change in your life today? Like, what little thing could they do? Because they already know. There's something that they just have held off doing. There's something that kind of niggles at them every day, and they go, geez, I really should do that. I really want to. But I might just watch another episode of Netflix. I might just go, you know, off to work as usual. There is something they know There's someone that they need to call and have a conversation with. There's an email they need to send. There's a letter they need to send. There's something they need to do around the house. There's something that they need to do that if they did it, it would start the shift. And it's, you know, it reminds me of this birthday cake, this jelly birthday cake that we made for my niece for her birthday. And it was in this mold, and we took it out of the mold, and it was this big wobbly block. And just in the corner, there was this tiny, you know, a jelly gets a little tiny crack.
Yeah.
Tiny, little tiny crack. And then as we watched, it just started just to continue to split apart. Just like before our eyes, this big jelly cake just literally split and fell apart. Why am I telling you that? Because the little tiny thing that they do today that they've been holding off starts the crack. It starts a shift in their life, and it opens up the next thing. Can I keep talking for like 3 more minutes?
Yeah, keep going. I'm not just saying anything. Keep going.
Wait, so the Indiana Jones movie, right? I think it was the Temple of Doom, right? There's this scene where his mentor's been injured, and he's running through this tunnel, and he gets this spot, and he goes, whoa, you know? And he looks down, and there's this huge void. And he's got to get to the other side because the tunnel continues. And he's got to get to the other side to get whatever the thing is to save his mentor. And he's standing there, and it's just black as far as he can see. And in his mind, he's going, there's this saying that keeps going over and over. And it is, do you know what it is?
I don't remember, but
it's something like trust, take the step.
It's something like that.
Yeah, right. So he's standing there, and he's got this thing, and he goes, and you see him, and he puts his foot up, and he steps into the void. And as he steps into the void, you can see his face go, and his foot hits a stepping stone that appears when he takes the step, right? And then he's standing there, and he goes, and he takes another step, and the stepping stone appears. And another step, and he gets to the other end.
Yeah.
This is just like life, right? You've got to take the step and trust that you'll land in the right place.
Yep.
And then you don't know the next step until you've done the first step. The first step is one of your listeners or your listeners today, do the little thing. It's the little thing that makes the little change that then opens up the next step and the next step and the next step.
Yeah. I think that's also a temple of not Temple of Doom, it's the Last Crusade.
Last Crusade.
Yeah. I'm an Indiana Jones guy, so.
I didn't really answer your question, but I answered your question with a question. My question to them is, what is the one little thing that you've been putting off?
Yeah.
Do that today. Like, do it. Now, it might be something that's a bit big and it requires a little thing to be started to finally get to the thing that needs to be done. Do the little thing.
Do the little thing. Little wins, baby.
Yeah.
We'll add up. We'll add up.
I will.
So Dr. Ben, I want to thank you. This has been a great, great conversation. I'm glad we went in every direction we went in as it was destined to be. So I know the audience will connect with you. They've probably love this already. If they're staying on this long, they're already taking that. They may have already taken the little step when they're walking on the treadmill or whatever it may be, or driving. So I want to thank you. This has been really a fantastic conversation.
Josh, mate, I have loved it. I loved it. I love your accent. I love that you're in New York. I'm going to come and visit. It was great. I loved it.
Very cool. And I'm going to say our audience probably is going to love your accent too. We have some listeners from down under, but the majority is here in the U.S.
Do I have an accent?
Me? Awesome, brother. Well, we will connect. We will stay connected. And I'm glad to share your mission with the world because we need more great people like yourself.
Thanks, Josh. Cheers.
Hey, I hope you totally enjoyed that episode with Dr. Ben Carvoso. What a great, great conversation. Really enjoyed that we can dive deep into so many different things in this podcast, that we have such an opportunity to connect with amazing people, share their stories, share what they've learned through life and what they've put into books like Ben with Life CEO, and that we all get to benefit from these conversations, myself included. I absolutely love the concept of the Life CEO. So if you are enjoying this and have enjoyed that conversation, make sure you check in the show notes. We have all the links for all the details and everything we spoke about. Make sure you definitely go out and get that book, and let's help transform our lives, right? So I want to also let you know that this show is brought to you by the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Based Program. It's like nothing you've ever witnessed before. If you are just getting into lifestyle, you want to have more accountability, you want to learn some simple things and have daily steps to take to actually make yourself not only physically, we'll say, stronger and have a little more endurance, but to actually make yourself healthier. Check out the link for the 3065 in the show notes as well. And for that, everyone, have a fantastic day, evening, or night from wherever and whenever you're listening. Bye-bye.